Hello and welcome to The Laydown, a podcast where three booksellers from Gibson's Bookstore in Concord, New Hampshire chat about all things literary. My name is Ryan, my pronouns are she, her.
My name is Joe and my pronouns are they, them.
My name is John and my pronouns are he, him.
Hello, John! Hello.
It's wonderful to be here.
I'm certainly so excited! We've been talking about having John on the podcast for a while. Literal months.
Yeah.
It's time. Well,
glad I was able to fit you into my tremendously busy schedule.
Yes, indeed. So later on in the podcast, we're gonna talk a little bit about John, what John does here.
What's John's job?
We're gonna find out.
We don't know.
But first, we're gonna do the usual. We're gonna talk about what we've been reading recently, and I know Joe and I both have. The longest list? Why does this keep happening?
Because we, like, recorded at the beginning of July, and now we're recording at the end of August, so it's, like, 2 months worth of books, I think. Yeah, I think that's what's going on.
Okay, also, that makes me feel better, because I was like, I don't think I've been reading that much or that quickly, but then I was looking at the books I talked about last time compared to the books that are in my recently read, and I was like, really?
So many.
All the way back to there? Okay. and we also have a lot of overlap.
Yeah.
In our books.
Some really good ones.
Good overlap.
Yeah.
But so I'm just going to highlight, I was going to say a few. More than a few. But there are some that I'm going to highlight and then others that I think we'll both just kind of tackle together.
Yeah.
So two that I'm like completely feral over right now. Like I can't contain my enthusiasm for are two books that are available for pre-order right now. The first one, which comes out October 4th of this year, is Such Sharp Teeth by Rachel Harrison! Okay. Oh my god. So, alright. Listeners know how much I love The Return. It's one of my top five. Like, I adore that book with everything in me. And I really, really loved Cackle, which was Rachel's second book, but it was very different from The Return. Like, it had a lot of similar themes, but the vibe was...
It was less horror
and more just, like, witchy, which was awesome and great. We're back to horror.
Yay.
And I am so excited. I realized that my actual staff pick review can't just be werewolf book, werewolf book, werewolf book. But that's kind of where I'm at right now. So it's creepy like The Return, and it has really great body horror in it. Ooh. Along the lines of The Return. So nothing that's gonna make you like gag, but it's visceral. It's gonna put an image in your head when you're reading it. But this book, on top of that, is such an incredible examination of trauma and scars, both literal and metaphorical, and wounds that never fully heal. Again, both literal and metaphorical. It's about forgiveness and control and feminine rage and transformations and new life, and there's really amazing, poignant comparisons between pregnancy and werewolf transformation, which sounds absurd, but works so well because there's this, like, loss of self and, loss of your bodily autonomy and there's this, like, whole aspect of needing to, like, tame the beast within, right? And like, it is so good, and I started it and I was like, I'm going to savor this, because her other two books I was like, oh, I read it in a day, and I was like, no, I'm gonna savor this, I'm gonna let it linger, I'm gonna take my time with it. So I was forcing myself to do like one chapter at a time on my breaks at work, and then I hit a point in the book and I was like, nope, gotta finish it.
Can't stop.
sat down and just read the whole thing. Couldn't get enough. I will say check trigger warnings with this one, just in case. There are some things that it tackles that may be triggering for some, but I think she handles it in a really beautiful way. But oh my God, werewolf book. I'm so excited. And she will be back on the podcast, of course.
Yay.
We haven't picked a date yet, but you know, it wouldn't be the lay down without a Rachel Harrison appearance on the podcast, you know? And hilariously, this is the first time that our interview is actually being arranged by, like, the publicist, as opposed to just me DMing Rachel, like, hey, do you want to be on the podcast again? It's like an official one, which is fun. So that, October 4th, Such Sharp Teeth, available for pre-order now. The second one that I can't stop thinking about.
I knew exactly which two.
Literally, yeah. Like, oh my God. Okay. Comes out on January 17th. The new Grady Hendrix book.
Yay.
It's called How to Sell a Haunted House by Grady Hendrix. Oh my God. So, I've been waiting for this book for so long. I made a pre-order card for it before there was even a cover. Like, mm-hmm. I have, the second he announced it, I was like, when, where, what, how, where? Give me now. and I've been just waiting for so long. And so when someone tweeted that it was the digital advanced reader copies were available on Edelweiss, I literally cleared my whole schedule for the day. Thank God it happened to be my day off. I was like, I'm so sorry, children. I'm going to set you up with Bluey. Mommy needs to go read.
Bluey's babysitting today.
Bluey is babysitting today. Mommy needs some quality time with this horror novel. And wow. Yup. Uh-huh. Yeah. He does it again. Have you ever wished that the Chucky movies were more terrifying? Do you love reading about both family trauma and family drama? Mm-hmm. Do you have a strange affinity for haunted dolls? Yeah, I've got a book for you. I don't want to give too much away because some of the aspects of the plot were like really delightful for me to uncover as I read it. But I just have to say that Pupkin is one of the most unnerving, terrifying characters I've had the pleasure of reading in recent years.
Incredible.
And Grady Hendrix got a full body vocal reaction with one word. One word. About two-thirds of the way through the book, there was one word, and I literally went, no! Oh, dear God. And, like, fully, like, twitched and, like, oh, dear. This book, oh, my God. I read it in one day. I fully plan on rereading it again in January. It gave me the same vibes that, like, Horror Store gave me, where based on what it's about, it kind of feels like, oh, this should be a little bit silly. Like,
yeah.
This should be silly, but it's terrifying. But, like, on top of that, there's really nuanced conversations about, like, grief and guilt and familial relationships. Which is really cool because there's these layers where you're like, okay, here's the layer that's like straight horror. And then there's a layer beneath that where you're like, this is a really beautiful book about family.
Nice.
And like the things that like siblings, like when siblings have a falling out and then kind of reconnect and when a family member dies and like what that's like. Like it's so good. And I'm so excited because Grady Hendrix is one of the keynote speakers at the NEBA Fall Conference. Yay. And I get to introduce him. And when I say get to introduce him, I mean I threw myself across the room and said, please, 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 please let me introduce Grady Hendrix. I will not be able to handle it if anyone else introduces Grady Hendrix. Please, this is mine. Can I have it? And Beth was very kind, and she said, yeah, sure.
She's like, okay, cool. Yeah.
Yeah, right. You sure. Fine.
I think this is a very niche thing, but the way Ryan sold me on it was she knows I love the haunted doll watch segment of the podcast My Brother, and Me. And so she was like, so you love that? Read this book.
It's
so
true.
If anybody out there is also a huge fan of Haunted Doll Watch.
Yeah.
I'm here for this.
This is the book for you. January 17th, 2023. Be prepared to hear me scream about it for the next several months. I can't. And then there's a few others that I read recently that have just been really, really fun. So if you listened to my interview with Ashley Poston, you heard her recommend a book called The Undertaking of Heart and Mercy by Megan Bannon.
I've been hearing really good things about that.
Yeah, so I read that at Ashley's recommendation, and it's fantastic. It's a really cute enemies to lovers romance between an undertaker named Mercy and a demigod marshal named Heart. It's set in a modern day fantasy world. And it's got strong, like You've Got Mail vibes.
Ooh.
It's an epistolary romance.
Oh, nice.
So Heart is on the outside, this like curmudgeonly, like marshal who just, you know, he like takes down zombies. That's like his job. He like protects the realm from these like zombie creatures. And he's super grumpy and and he's always doing business with this undertaker. And they hate each other. They are, like, from the outset, like, one look at each other and they're like, oh, I do not like you at all. But they, like, begrudgingly do business together. But, like, on the inside, like, he's actually quite lonely. Like, he doesn't really have any friends. He doesn't really have any family. He's just sort of, like, alone. And in this world, when you write a letter, even if you don't know the address that you're sending it to, you can just put like the person's name on the envelope and these like snarky owls will deliver it to the person that it's intended for. And there's one night when he's feeling extra lonely and he kind of pours his heart out on paper and addresses it to just a friend, dear friend. And he just kind of leaves it, and then it gets picked up and delivered to someone who writes back. So, like, imagine his surprise when he gets a letter back that's like, yes. Dear friend. And he's like, oh, where did, and he's like asking the mail owl, like, where did you take this? And he's like, I can't tell you that, but like, it was addressed from the heart. And he's like, no, my name is Heart. And he's like, no, your heart inside, dummy. And so what follows is this back and forth of these pen pals just kind of, again, like, just talking, just like forming this friendship and then more. But what they don't realize that we, the reader, realize is that it's Heart and Mercy.
Mm-hmm.
It's the two people who hate each other. And it is delightful. It is so good. It's such a fun book with like really great world building. And yeah, I highly recommend it. And what's exciting is that because on Twitter I thanked Ashley Poston for recommending this book and both authors responded very excitedly, this led to an actual event that we're doing with both authors. So on September 6th, we're doing a virtual event with Megan Bannon in conversation with Ashley Poston. I'm very excited. I think it's going to be a good time. And they both love each other's new books. And so it's going to just be like a lot of flailing and shrieking and gushing. And it's going to be a really good time. And then I listened to a romance called Thank You for Listening by Julia Whalen. And what's really fun, so it's a, you know, it's a romance novel about two audiobook narrators who are working together, but like remotely, narrating a romance novel, and they fall for each other without ever actually like seeing each other or meeting. They're just, you know, they have their own recording studios and they're just sending the audio to each other. And so it's very much like a Love is Blind kind of scenario where they're falling in love without ever meeting. But what's really cool is that Julia Whalen in real life is an audiobook narrator. And so it's a really interesting peek behind the curtain because she, like, there are things about the process that are just, yeah, that's how it works. That's how audiobook narration works. But I found out about this book because I was listening to the brand new Libro FM podcast that they have, which is very exciting. Highly recommend that. And they had Julia Whalen on as a guest. And so she was talking about the audiobook process, what it's like to be a narrator and to narrate a book. And also she was talking about writing this book, and she narrated her own book. And it was really funny because she was like, yeah, I thought as I was writing it that I was like setting myself up for success, and then I went to narrate it and realized how many accents I'd given for no reason. It was really funny. So highly recommend both the book and also the Libro FM podcast. I'm not sure how regularly they put out episodes. I think it's like every couple of weeks or maybe every week. Their most recent one that I just listened to was with Clint Smith for How the Word Is Passed. It's a really cool podcast. It's interview based, and they ask really great questions. So that was fun. And then jumping off of the Libra FM kind of tangent, I listened to an audiobook exclusive on Libra FM called "The Babysitter Lives" by Stephen Graham Jones.
I need to listen to
you
that.
You need to listen to it. It's so scary.
Okay.
It's so good. It's really quick. It's like a novella length, I would say. And it's so creepy, and it's very much a haunted house story. It's got like poltergeist vibes. There's like a weird like portal in the house where like you enter through like the broom closet and you come out like inside a beanbag in one of the kids' rooms, but you have to go back through the portal the way you came, otherwise you get stuck in the liminal space. And the portal moves, and the way that the children who are being babysat know about the portal is the lady tells them. No thank you.
I love it. Because I remember babysitting as a teenager. Same. And like haunting, for some reason that was my big fear. Like I wasn't worried about the kids getting hurt. Like and I babysat for a few family friends who lived in like these old New England houses, and I was like certain a ghost was going to get us. So
absolutely.
Like,
and this takes place like the night before Halloween, so naturally things are already like a little creepy. It is like unsettling from the word go. Like, I started this just out of curiosity. I was like, I've been meaning to read more Stephen Graham Jones. And this is pretty quick. It was like, I forget how long it is. It's not long, like 8 hours maybe. I was like, this is a quick one. I'll just put this on. And I hit play and I was like, I'm not doing anything else but listening to this today. This is all I'm doing today. It is so creepy. And again, with this one, I would again check trigger warnings because there's a lot of like dark stuff that happens and happened in the past that is either reenacted through the hauntings or whatever. There's some like body switching. Real good. Real creepy. Again, it is currently an audiobook exclusive. I'm hoping at some point we get some sort of physical copy, even if it's like in like an anthology or something. Like, I would love a physical copy of this because it is phenomenal. And it got me really excited to read the upcoming sequel to My Heart is Chainsaw, which I do have a digital arc of, but have not yet delved into because
it's a monster.
It's a monstrosity. It's a big one. Yeah. but it did get me all hyped for that. I've been reading a million other things too that I either haven't finished or we're going to both be talking about later. I just started The Hacienda by Isabel Cañas, who is I'm also introducing her with Grady Hendrix. They are going to be in conversation together at the fall conference.
And I feel like that one, like, I hate the this book is X book plus this book, like, thing, but really it's Mexican Gothic and Rebecca.
Yeah.
And it's so good.
Yeah, yeah, I'm loving like, it so far.
Yeah, it's if really that's good. Your jam, mm-hmm. Gothic
mm-hmm.
woman marries a creepy guy and moves to a creepy house sort
yep.
of
yeah.
story.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good, like, spooky house books out right now and coming out, and I'm here for it. I'm also reading Ledge by Stacey McCune. She will be on the podcast next month. She is famous from TikTok.
Okay.
But her book is good.
Yay.
So, you know.
Good.
It's like a cool fantasy where it's like an enemies to lovers romance, but it's set in this world where these people were kind of exiled to what is basically a ledge on like this icy cliff, and you know, they have like their village, they have like enough space, and there's like a forest so they can have like firewood and stuff, but it's always freezing, it's always winter, and there's just a drop off, like like if you go to the end of town, it you just slide off into
who knows what.
And like once a month, I think it's once a month, there are these giant creatures with these huge talons that come and just grab a person and fly back to like the town below or whatever, and no one knows what happens to them. No one, they assume that these people are devoured and killed, but they don't know. No.
Interesting.
And that's like the setup. And the main characters, she's like the last one in her family, so she's like, well, it's probably my turn to get got. We'll see.
Interesting.
And that's like how it opens. So it's good. It's very gripping right from the start, in a very like interesting setting, which is cool. And then I also I listened to, and I think Joe, you actually recommended I listen to this, the new Jeanette McCurdy.
Oh my god.
Which is sold out everywhere.
Literally everywhere.
Back ordered everywhere. It's coming.
It's coming.
Coming back.
It's coming, but oh my god. Oh, I feel like I was saying this on Twitter the other day that like I feel like a lot of talk about this book has been like, oh wow, I didn't know people cared this much about iCarly, or like who could have predicted this? And I feel like it undercuts the fact that this is a phenomenal book. She wrote a gorgeous book about trauma and abuse and just so for people who don't know, Jeanette McCurdy was on the show iCarly. She played the best friend Sam, and she had a really rough childhood, a mother who really forced her into acting and you know, basically taught her how to have an eating disorder and wouldn't let her shower on her own until she was 17. Like really upsetting things, and she just does an incredible job of like portraying how she felt at the time. Like, there comes a moment, and Ryan said this to me, and one of our coworkers, Ben, said this to me. We all listened to the audiobook where her voice breaks while reading it, because she's talking about, like, the realization that, oh, my mom was abusive. Like, she does an incredible job of portraying, like, this is how I was feeling at the time. This is, okay, my mom did this, then great, this was helpful. She was helping me out by teaching me how to cut calories. Like,
right.
And it's gorgeous, and I keep referencing Carrie Fisher when I read about it. Like, very different senses of humor, very different writing style, but reminds me of that, like, taking this trauma and child stardom and just writing this really gorgeous, gorgeous memoir. So,
yeah, I love it. Incredible. She's a fantastic writer, and like Joe was saying, like, she really taps into the exact headspace that she was at the time, and so she will be very matter-of-factly describing these things that you, the listener, are like, that's abuse, girl,
that's really bad,
that's not normal. But she's like, she loved her mom, and she wanted to do whatever she could to make her mom happy, and she didn't know that these things weren't normal at the time. And so, yeah, that moment where she's, like, talking to a therapist, and the therapist is like, that's not normal.
That's,
like,
not
that's
okay.
Your mom gave you an eating disorder. And she... her voice breaks, and I had to pause the audiobook because I started to cry, and I was like, oh my God. But yeah, for folks who have been waiting to read this book, I do highly recommend the audiobook.
You can get that now.
You can get it immediately from Libra FM, and again, she reads it. She does a phenomenal job, and God, what a life she has lived already.
I know, and I look forward to seeing, I think, the implication from the book is that she's going to continue writing.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm very interested to see what she does moving forward.
And then the last one that I read recently that Joe also read is The Book Eaters by Suni Dean.
Oh, I loved that book.
It's so good.
It's so, so good. It's very dark. Like, I recommended it to my mom, and I was like, how are you liking it? She's like, it's dark. And I'm like, yeah, it is. But it's a dark kind of fantasy, fairy tale almost story. It's about a society in England of people who have to eat books in order to live. Like, that's their sustenance. And every so often, they have children who are mind eaters who have to eat humans' minds instead of books. So it's a very, like, vampire-esque storyline.
Yes.
And it's about a mother who is a book eater and her son is a mind eater, and her trying to protect him. But it is also kind of a exploration of that same sort of thing of childhood trauma and not realizing that what you were going through is actually horribly abusive. And that she kind of grew up thinking she was a fairy tale princess, and then realizing that no, this is a really terrible society that she was raised in. It's so good. And the audiobook, I think we both listened to the audiobook.
It's phenomenal.
It's so good. The it's set in the north of England, and so they have a northern accent, a narrator with a northern accent, and, like, it's just so good and atmospheric, and, like, she does such a good job of, like, having the accent, but still making it so you can understand it, because I definitely have had a couple people be like, oh, I have a hard time with accents in audiobooks, but no, it's fantastic, and I loved that book.
It's so good. And what's cool is at the end of the audiobook, there's actually an interview with the author and the narrator together. and they kind of talk about the process of hiring her. She had never narrated an audiobook
which is
before.
Shocking. Yeah.
They actually talk about some of the kind of autistic representation
yep.
in the book, which is really interesting. Yeah, it's I really recommend it. It is so funny because I finished it and I immediately went up to Joe and I was like, okay, Joe, how are you hand selling this? Because I can't get my thoughts together and I keep scaring people. Because I keep just being like, okay, so like picture a vampire, but they're like eating your mind. And like, and the people are just like, what? I'm like, no, never mind. Hold on. okay, but like they're like ingesting books and they're like, what? I'm like, okay, hold on, never mind.
Yeah, I have kind of gotten my elevator pitch down because yeah. I've been hand-selling it to a bunch of people. We had somebody come in who just came up to me and was like, what's the best book you've read recently? I want to buy it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, here we go. Perfect. This is it. So, yeah I really, really loved that one. And
yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, really. And it's a debut, which is shocking.
Yeah. I was very surprised by that. It's very,
yeah.
The world building's amazing. The characters are really well-rounded and well-written.
Yeah.
It's gonna have a long shelf life, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
What else have you been reading?
I'll talk about a couple other things that I've been reading. I'll go through some quick... I just finished Deep as the Sky, Red as the Sea by Rita Chang Epping. This is a book, I got a bound manuscript of it.
Ooh, fancy.
So it doesn't have a release date, it's just coming out in 2023 at some point.
Love it.
It is about Shekyung, the Chinese pirate queen is kind
okay.
of how she's known. A female pirate in the 18th, 19th century in China. And it is about her life and just how she deals with this very weird society that she's in, this pirate life. It starts with her first husband being murdered, and then she has to figure out how to maintain her power in this... in the pirate fleet. And so it talks a lot about gender and family and, you know, how you make a life for yourself in a world that's pretty hostile to
yeah.
us women. And it's really good. It's, you know, it's a great pirate story, and
yeah.
it's a really interesting look at a historical period that I feel like people, especially like pirates, like we have a very specific idea of pirates of, like, being in the Caribbean in
mm-hmm.
a very specific 17, like, there's, like, a 20-year period.
Yeah.
The golden age of pirates. And so I liked reading a story that kind of went outside of that, and really, really liked it. It's a debut. So at some point, I will eventually will post my review and... like staff pick stuff and pre-order information once we have more information
yeah.
about it. But it was really good. Read a couple graphic novels. This is going to come as a shock to everybody. I'm the first person to say this. But the Sandman comics are like really good, actually.
Turns out.
Really?
So yeah,
shocking.
I know. But
say.
Yeah, like, you know, everyone I was like, oh, I have been meaning to read these books for at least a decade, and now there's a new series out on Netflix getting really great reviews, like I kind
mm-hmm.
of have to read this
mm-hmm.
and so I have been buying it, reading them, and then giving them to Sam, one of our coworkers, and then she's been reading them and we discuss it, which has been a really fun way of doing it. And yeah,
mm-hmm.
just like if you've been hesitating, like it's really good
yeah.
and gorgeously done. I also read Eat the Rich by Sarah Gailey. It's a comic book graphic novel that is it's what it says
mm-hmm.
on the tin, basically. It's about a woman who goes home with her very rich boyfriend who is a very fancy beachside town, and you know, there's some cannibalism going on.
Amazing.
And it reminds me a lot of the movie Ready or Not about the woman who she gets married and then her on her wedding night her fiance's family hunts her down to try to kill her.
Yep.
So it's
great
that
movie.
a fantastic movie, but a great like that twisting and like it's queer and it's
Sarah
really
Gailey.
Fun. It's Sarah Gailey. The art is really good. I really enjoy that, and I don't know if it's going to continue past, like, this is the first volume. I don't know if there are going to be more, but it was good. And then the last one I'll mention is The Honeys by Ryan LaSala. It's a YA book. It was really good. I got the arc of it because everybody was comparing it to Heathers, which is, you know, a fantastic movie. And it's this really creepy horror, but like all set in summer. Like it's very, ooh, it's like a sun-drenched horror.
Yes.
I think. Yeah.
Oh, I
and
love that.
It's about a gender fluid teen whose sister comes and attacks them in the middle of the night, and then she dies tragically, and they're like, they don't know what is happening or why their sister started doing this, so they decide to go to the summer camp that she's always gone to and loved, and try to find out what's going on with her mysterious group of friends called the Honeys.
Oh my god.
And yeah, it's there's some creepy stuff going on in this very rich private summer camp that is, yeah, there are bees there, and there's a great like Jennifer's Body reference of like, I'm not killing people, I'm killing boys.
Yes!
And just,
oh my god, this
yeah,
is amazing.
It's really good. I read it in like 2 days, I think.
Yeah.
I actually listened to the audiobook.
Oh,
and
nice.
Yeah, it was a good summer horror read, so I definitely recommend that one. And if you come and buy it from us, they sent us nail polish. And I'm holding my hand up now. I painted my nails a week ago, and they're holding up pretty well.
Nice.
Which,
it's a great color.
It's a really good color. So, yeah, if you want some nail polish and a good horror book, go for it.
Oh, I love that. John, what have you been reading recently that you want to talk about?
Well, I'll mention, my reading's been sort of scattered lately, but I will mention a couple of things. What If 2
yes!
by Randall Munroe
yes.
is coming out is September 13th. And if you liked What If 1, or
yeah.
just What If, you will like this. It's
yeah.
more of the same. A lot of the questions are generated by readers who send questions into him, and some of them he goes on at length, as he will, like... someone's kid said, oh, why can't we build a billion-story skyscraper? And he explains what that would be like,
what
of course.
Happen?
And, his way, yeah. and some of them he just gives short, clever, funny answers to. And, of course, it's his wonderful stick figure drawings.
Yes.
Again, if you like
I'm
What If.
I'm so excited for that.
It's good. I just started, and I wanted to mention, because it's coming out right after Labor Day, Solito by Javier Zamora.
Ooh.
It's been getting a lot of buzz. It's a true story. It's a memoir about he came from Guatemala.
Oh.
And he walked a lot of the way. But it's written as a memoir, but he's writing it as if he were 9 years old, which was the age when he came, and hoping... For a long time, he hoped to take what he called the trip to be reunited with his parents who were living in the States.
Yeah.
And he does. And a 2-week trip winds up taking months.
Yeah.
So,
wow. Sounds really good.
It's very good, yes, so far. I'm just starting it, but I am getting into it. So.
Nice. Oh, very nice. So speaking of books that are not yet out... how's that for a transition?
Yeah, perfect.
Stellar. So, John, you are one of our buyers.
That's correct.
For the bookstore. So, tell the listeners kind of like, what does that mean? When we say John is one of our buyers, what does that mean?
I buy the books for the adults, and as opposed to our colleague Heather, who buys the kids stuff, which is a whole different world. I've had to do a little bit of that here at Gibson's. Basically, I meet with sales reps who come from the various publishing houses, and they sell us the books, and I decide how many we're going to buy and what have you. It sounds very simple, but of course it's a lot of work because there are thousands and thousands of books published every year.
Yeah. I'm always amazed by
the whole process.
Yeah, just the whole process and like how much that you get in, and like you do a very good job of like getting a good amount of like knowing what's going to sell. I'm always surprised. I don't know. Not surprised, but like
impressed. Thank you. Yeah. Is it, you know, a lot sometimes, you know, there's a science to it and there's an art to it. Fortunately, these days we're able to do a lot of it online on the program or the website Edelweiss. Mm-hmm. And most publishers these days, all the major publishers especially, put all their books on there, and they don't, many of them don't bother printing paper catalogs anymore, which of course for years was the way you did it.
Yeah.
They'd print a catalog, you'd go through it and tell the sales rep what you wanted to order, and they'd write it down on an order form, which would then go somewhere and get processed by the publisher. But now you can do it all on the computer, and so the process is I go through the catalogs before I meet the rep, and then they can look at my order online as well, and they can, you know, and then they come in and we talk for a bit, and they say, oh, you know, they highlight, you know, 5 or 10 or 20 titles, whatever. They think I've missed or ordered too few or ordered too many. The sales reps are very good. They don't want you to take too many books because most publishers send us the books on a returnable basis.
Right.
So if the books don't sell, we send them back to the publisher and get credit.
Yeah.
Which enables us sometimes to take chances on books and order a bunch so they'll be faced out and put on our front tables. And a lot of it is just based on experience and feel. A lot of it is, you can tell when the publishers are behind a book.
Right, yeah.
You know, they say they're going to print 100,000, so you know, that's going to be a pretty big book.
Yeah.
But there's also, you try to look at other things. Edelweiss enables you to see, enables everybody in the book community to put reviews. They can just say they like it, or they can actually do a review. And you can see those from other booksellers, as well as librarians and reviewers. That can be helpful sometimes, because there are books that do get a buzz, and you just become aware of it. And, you know, through our meetings, like at the New England Booksellers Association and stuff, you talk to other booksellers, and they give you ideas. Like, I mean, I remember hearing about the first
Gideon
book, like, I don't know, a year before it came out?
Yeah.
9 months, a year? Because people had gotten early copies and were very excited about it. So that...
The New England booksellers in
particular. Yes, yeah, New England booksellers in particular. Yeah.
Absolutely, continue to be absolutely unhinged about that series.
The weird relationship between New England booksellers and Tor.com. It's
so great.
Beautiful.
But yeah, I remember hearing about Gideon, like, at NEBA or right before NEBA, and being like, there's something here.
Yes.
There's something here, yeah.
So there's things like that, and, you know, fortunately there's still things that work by word of mouth. I mean, you know, like going in Stephen King, you're going to sell however many we sell, you know, 10, 20, 30 of a new Stephen King, and so that's an easy one. But then there's stuff that catches you by surprise, like the Jeanette McCurdy, and I mean, we ordered, I thought, oh yeah, that'll sell. You know, we sold, I don't know how many we got in originally, 5 or 6.
We sold them all in one day.
Yeah.
Which, like,
and
no one predicted.
But the publisher wasn't like, oh, you have to order more of this.
Right.
They were like, oh yeah, it's going to sell, but they weren't expecting it to be a big thing.
But even the fact that they sold out their first printing in that first week means that, like, they did not expect that they were going to sell that many. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that was, I mean, that was such a power of word of mouth of booksellers and early reviewers.
Yeah, a couple good interviews. And
And I think it was, because I, you know, knew that it was coming out. I, like, knew of it.
Yeah.
But didn't really know, like, what it, like, talked about or whatever.
And, like, and plenty I was like, of oh, iCarly, former like, child stars put out memoirs, and you're like, okay, yeah.
Sure. It's like, oh, I, like, I grew up watching iCarly. Yeah. Like, that'll be interesting. I'll probably read that. And mm-hmm. then, like, I started seeing buzz from people being like, oh, this is, like, really well written and mm-hmm. really powerful and, like, it just something about the buzz, I was like, oh, this one hits different. Mm-hmm. And, like, no one saw it coming.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting. But the, I think the fact that it sold out of its first printing made it so much more desirable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Because yes. you can talk up a book all you want. It doesn't mean it's gonna sell, right? Yeah. Like, that's our whole job, right? Yeah. Like, you can scream about books till the cows come home. It doesn't mean people are gonna buy it, but when a book sells out of its first printing in a week,
yeah,
people are intrigued.
Yeah.
And they want more, and so the fact that it did that and it's actually very good. But yeah, it's like that does happen.
Yes.
Like, the publishers have no idea what they have, like, not, which is not, like, you know, how could they have known?
Yeah.
Right? Oh, it's like, a good memoir about a child star.
Yeah.
That who seems could have predicted
that it was going to
that we would have lost our collective minds over it.
Yeah, I mean, I heard her interviewed and thought, oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
And I came and checked stock. We were sold out already. And it was out at our distributors and the publisher. So,
but yeah, I think at one point I was like, hey, John, do you know about, like, I assume you know what's going on here, but I'm just gonna, like, throw this out there because, like, suddenly every person on Twitter is talking about this book.
And of course, today, with social media that all you kids are doing, it can happen much more quickly.
Yeah. And much more unexpectedly. Yeah. I mean, I think that TikTok has been, we've definitely talked about that, but, like, there have been backlist books that have suddenly, you're like, wait, Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo came out years ago. Okay. I mean, good. Sure. Yay. But it's hard to predict.
At this point, there is no predicting what's going to go viral on TikTok because it's all about, you know, whatever, like, is someone happens to do a really good video about a book they just happened to read.
Yep.
Doesn't matter if it's new or old, doesn't matter, like, what it is, if their video goes viral, everyone wants that book, and it's gonna sell out everywhere, because that, like, people are just scrolling through, and they're like, oh, that sounds really interesting, and they go, but, like, there's no, I mean, like, we sold out of Cain's Jawbone, which is a puzzle novel.
That you, like, cut the pages out of.
Yeah, and you're, like, trying to solve a murder in this book. I don't even know. It's crazy. And, yes, someone did, like, a funny TikTok about how they were trying to solve the murder in this... Mm-hmm. Murders, I think, in this book. And they, you know, were, like, showing their pages all taped up, and everyone who saw it was like, wait, that's really cool, and they...
Yeah, and then they make videos, and then it just, it's gonna get on everyone's For You page. Yeah.
So, I can't imagine trying to be on the other side of publishing and, like, trying to predict these trends, because, like, you know, you might have a book that you're like, I think this is going to be a huge hit, and then it doesn't sell at all.
Yeah.
And then you might have a book that you're like, I mean, this one's, like, it's good, but, like, it probably won't be huge. And then, like, someone does a really good review for it, and it blows up and sells out. Like, it's just, it's so unpredictable these days.
Yeah. The publishers have a certain plan, and they, you know, they can plan the publicity on the older mediums, media, like, you know, talk shows and NPR and, you know, and reviews, and the New York Times book review still has significance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they can't really control the social media.
Yeah. No.
It's
wild.
It's good.
But I know you've been, just recently in the last couple of weeks, you've been doing a lot of meetings with reps for the, I believe, books that are coming out this fall.
Well,
or is that even like the sprint? Like, what are we?
Where are we?
I'm
actually starting to order books for next year.
Wow, that's
awesome.
Because it's usually months ahead, usually 5 to 6, sometimes more ahead.
Yeah.
But I've still got a few smaller things mm-hmm. for the fall, but most of the fall is ordered in the early summer or last spring. So.
Mm-hmm. And when you're ordering for the fall, I imagine you have to take in the holidays. So do you, like, when you're going through with the reps, I imagine there must be a portion where you're like, yeah, any other time of year, this would you'd want to bring in, like, 6 copies of this, but Christmas is coming, so maybe get in 12 or more. Like, do they have a sense of, like, what the big gift books are going to be?
Yes, that does happen. They also are aware, for the most part, of the books that are going to be in the NEBA catalog.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's right.
The catalog that we have here at our store and goes into the local papers. Mm-hmm. And usually we get a good response from that.
Yeah.
But the publishers, the past couple of years, last year especially, they say, this book, we're probably not going to be able to reprint it before Christmas because of COVID and various things that happened in the printing industry, there's less printing capacity.
Right.
So publishers have to really plan farther ahead. And they know, especially with like art books or books with a lot of color printing, those tend to be printed overseas.
Yeah.
So those take longer to get back in stock anyway. So there are books that we will order many of, you know, dozens or more, depending on the book, because we're pretty certain it's going to sell.
Right.
You know, we have this deadline called Christmas where things sell and then it slows down a lot right after that. So so the publishers have some idea of what books they may have problems with, and through past history, we know there's always like 1 or 2 books that you really want that become really hot bestsellers, and then the publishers don't have them. And so you're scrambling to find them if you can, or just you have to wait until it's Christmas.
That's where we do a lot of talking about ordering and just
pre-ordering
and
planning ahead for Christmas,
and
like buying
also
now.
Like, oh, that book that you really want is sold out. Here, print out a little picture of the cover and give that as the gift, and let the recipient know that you've ordered it for them, and they have a gift coming in January. Like,
absolutely.
We do a lot on our end in like November and December of that. But I mean, I know the like American Booksellers Association has already put out their holiday graphics for, you know, October is the new December, and start ordering now, start your shopping now, which is weird but true. It's, you know, get them while they're on the shelves, or be prepared to take recommendations from your friendly neighborhood bookseller who, you know, has read more than you and recommend something else.
Something similar. So do you have any things that are coming out this fall that you're either expecting to be big or that you're excited about?
Oh, yeah, there's a ton of good books. Some of the ones you two have mentioned in the horror genre, but there's a lot of literary novels coming out by authors who haven't produced anything recently.
Yeah.
The biggest one might be Cormac McCarthy, who hasn't had a new novel in like 10 years.
Yeah,
I think.
It's been a
doesn't
long
he
time.
Have two?
And he has two.
Yeah. So
one is October, one is December, I believe.
Wow.
They're connected novels, so they're related to each other. Let's see. The first one is The Passenger. That's coming on October, and the other one is Stella Maris. That's coming in December.
Okay.
So
amazing.
That's going to be a publishing event.
Yes.
Barbara Kingsolver has a new novel. She's been a few years since she's had one called Demon Copperhead.
Is what a title.
Yeah.
Ugh,
a take on David Copperfield.
Oh, fun.
I haven't read it yet, but people who have are liking it a lot. So.
Awesome. She's a great
I think
writer.
I think Michael said he's reading it and liking it a lot.
Cool.
But I could be wrong about it. John Irving has a 800-page novel coming out.
Wow.
They're saying it might be his last.
Okay.
Called The Last Chairlift, which is sort of an odd title, I think.
Interesting.
But,
Interesting.
It's John Irving, and so that should be good. Nobel Prize laureate Bob Dylan has a new book coming out.
Sorry. I love Bob Dylan. I really do.
I just love saying that. I don't know why. But it's called The Philosophy of Modern Song.
Oh, cool.
And it's the first new book he's had since his Biographical Chronicles in 2004.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's Bob Dylan writing about popular music. And
interesting.
And he does actually know a lot, and I think can be very erudite on it. If you've ever listened to his podcast, radio show, something Time Music Hour, or
I think
he's still doing it, but
I'll look it up and I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah,
yeah. Anyway, he knows a lot of music. Because.
He's been in the biz.
But he's also just been a music fan. So,
interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So, and someone named Michelle Obama has a book.
Oh, wow.
Another book called The Light We Carry.
Okay.
Overcoming in Uncertain Times.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, so we'll probably get a couple copies of that in.
We'll
get a couple copies of that, yeah. I mean, if it sells, you know, half as much as her first book sold, we'll still be selling hundreds of copies. So,
yeah.
That's probably the single biggest book of the season.
Yeah, that would be my guess.
Yeah, so there's just so much more. Madeline Miller, author of Circe, has a new one coming. It's a short little book, Galatea. Based on the myth of Pygmalion in Galatea.
Oh, yeah. Fun.
But it's a nice little hardcover. It'll be.
Yeah, because wasn't that originally like published in a short story collection
yes.
or something? Okay, cool. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. You are correct, Joe. Nice. But that'll be a nice little gift to give a nice little stocking stuffer because it'll be $12 bucks.
I was going to say, everyone
hardcover.
Who discovered Circe in the last year.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Give them that for
give
Christmas.
Give them that. You've got it.
Yeah, easy peasy. Yeah, you've got it. Margaret Atwood has a book, which she's the editor of. It's called 14 Days.
Okay.
An Unauthorized Gathering, and it's actually a bunch of different authors. That she's edited, but it's sort of a bit like a Decameron for COVID.
But it's, interesting.
It's supposed, you know, they each wrote a chapter, but it forms one continuous story.
Cool.
So that sounds really cool, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. She does pretty interesting things.
Oh, she does.
Yeah. So that should be good.
I'm definitely intrigued by that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. There's many, many more.
I mean, feel free to keep.
Yeah.
What if two? Elizabeth Strout has a new one.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's...
Lucy by the Sea.
Yep.
Which, So she's always good. Stephen King, Fairy Tale, coming in a couple of weeks.
I'm so excited for Fairy Tale.
No, it's coming the 6th.
So
I'm sorry.
Good. Yeah.
I thought it was a little later, but.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
and it sounds.
It sounds really interesting.
Yes, I mean,
good and like creepy, but not horror.
Yeah.
More like thriller. Like
interesting.
Which is honestly some of my favorite King is not his horror. It's
interesting.
His like horror adjacent. And so I'm very, very intrigued by this one. It sounds really cool.
Yeah, me too. It sounds like one that non King. Lovers would like, not
yes.
that,
yeah,
you know, not,
yeah, I would agree with that.
Not I'm sure Sam will have a review for it when she's
exactly,
on the podcast
yeah.
next. Don't
it's true.
I should probably mention at some point in the fall, it's hard to say when exactly, there'll be a various editions of the January 6th report. January 6th committee. So
that makes sense.
Whenever they get it finished, it will come out in book form, and there's at least four or five different editions. But, you know, one has, like, the New York Times imprimatur, one has the New Yorker, and, you know, there's, so, various stuff. If you liked Less by Andrew Sean Greer, a sequel is coming, Less is Lost.
Yes.
I remember Less. I always describe it, talk about this, because it was such a weird experience reading that book, because, like, the first three quarters, I was like, okay, this is good. This is, like, this is good. And then, like, by the end, I was sobbing. Like, the last quarter of that book, like, destroyed me. So I'm very curious to see how this how one goes.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one.
That is September 20th for that one. Nice. Frederick Bachman, he's pretty prolific.
He's got another
one. The Winners. He's coming September 27th by him.
Nice.
One that I think is very exciting is Mad Honey by Jodi Picoult.
Yes.
Co-writing it with Jennifer Finney Boylan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's such an interesting combination.
Wait for that.
Yeah.
I saw Jennifer Finney Boylan speak at Winter Institute, maybe, like a few years ago, pre-COVID. And she was phenomenal. It was for her memoir about, it was like told in dogs that she'd had growing up.
Like Good Boy.
Good Boy.
Yeah.
And each chapter focused on a dog that she had had at that point in her life. And then she would like talk about her life at that point, but like tied in with the dog. And she did a reading and a talk at Winter Institute, and the entire room was sobbing by the end. Like, it was, but like she was also funny, and like, and I love Jodi Picoult, so I am very excited to read that. I think it's, and we're getting signed copies of that. We're doing a special.
I believe so, yes.
I believe we're getting like
100
signed copies or something. God. Yeah, like we're part of like a pre-order campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I do remember seeing her post that on Twitter.
So that's going to be awesome. That's going to be a really good
I remember we had Jennifer Finney Boylan for her first book.
Wow.
Her memoir of transitioning. And it was a great event. I mean, this was in the old store. It wasn't the
huge event.
That
might
have
been pre-me.
It was pre-you, yeah. It was 20 years ago.
Okay,
oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah, it was
very pre-me.
It's 10 years one of the events that still stick in my mind. Just that it was...
Wow.
It was so good, and it was just, you know, so so interesting. And, you know, an education for some of us.
Yeah, certainly.
So
that's awesome.
In a good way. So Barefoot Contessa has another book coming out.
So it's going to be a big seller.
Yeah. Anna Garten.
We love a cookbook at the
holidays.
She always does well.
Yep.
I should mention Pour Me Another by J.M. Hirsch, who lives here in Concord.
Yes.
It's another book of cocktails.
Yeah.
Nice.
And this one he takes, it's more classic cocktails, and it's done sort of like, there's a page with a cocktail, and it says, and if you like this, try this, 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 and this. So it's sort of, or someone described it as sort of a choose-your-own-adventure for cocktails.
Oh, that's nice. Fun.
So like obviously you can only do one or two a night unless you're...
Well, you're ready to party.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah,
but,
yeah.
And they're good. And, I mean, I got an advanced reading copy, and I've tried a couple of them. They seem good. The recipes seem really good. And he has some interesting twists. He likes to add... Certain cocktails, he likes to add just a little bit of salt, like six grains of kosher salt, and I think that's a great idea.
That's
just
cool.
Because salt enhances flavors.
Yeah.
And so he'll be, I think we had, do we have an event with him? Or
I don't
something?
Know if we,
he'll be signing
we'll
books.
Definitely
yeah,
we'll be definitely getting signed ones. We have a
right
ton
nearby.
Of pre-orders for that one already.
Yeah.
It's really funny. I'll be processing online orders, and all of a sudden, I'll get like six pre-orders for that one, and I'm like, "Oh, he like posted about it on Facebook again." I'm like, that one. Yeah, that's gonna be a big one.
Yeah.
So, another biography of Lincoln, but it's by John Meacham, who has a great track record for nonfiction biographers. And there was Light, Abraham Lincoln in the American Struggle. He's usually pretty reliable, so
perfect.
That's
have my book
good.
For my dad for Christmas already picked
there
out.
Go.
Right,
there
exactly.
we go.
A lot of dads will be getting that this Christmas.
Yep.
Um, George Saunders has a collection of stories.
Yeah, isn't this his first collection since 10th of December?
Yeah.
You are correct, Joe. Liberation Day, that is October 18th.
Nice.
Ken Burns has a new book called Our America, A Photographic History.
And interesting.
I don't think it's actually based on... It's based on the images that he, you know, has used in his many, many documentaries.
Cool.
So it's not, you know, it's not really based on a forthcoming documentary that I'm aware of. So it's just a great, you know, history photography book by Ken Burns.
Yeah.
Celeste Ng. It's been a few years for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our Missing Hearts, October 4th. It's been a while since Little Fires Everywhere. So
And people loved that one.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to get a lot of people who are like, oh, I love her.
Yeah.
Like,
one of the things about being a buyer is you see books and you see them presented and then they cancel. Then they get presented again. Then they get canceled.
Interesting.
They get presented again. And they canceled. One is Chelsea Manning's memoir.
Oh.
Okay.
It's called readme.txt. Okay. Text. And it's been, I think, this... at least 3 years since it was first presented. It's been a while.
Wow.
But it looks like it's finally coming in October as well, October 18th. So I'm just very curious about that because it's taken so long and obviously they've had a lot of things going on in their life. So Stacey Schiff, who's always a good biographer, has on a biography of Samuel Adams called The Revolutionary Samuel Adams.
Okay.
That's also October. Her Cleopatra book was very good.
Yes.
And, The Witches was a good book. About Salem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Louise Penny, of course.
Love Louise Penny.
She's very consistent, very good.
Yes.
A World of Curiosities, October. It's coming late November 29th.
Awesome.
So that's one we'll have many, many copies
of. Squeeze
that
in for Christmas.
Yeah. So that's...
There's comfort for mom.
Yeah, that's an example of an author who you just always know.
Yeah. Always going to be good.
Always going to sell.
So. Mm-hmm.
Steve Martin has a new memoir out called Number One is Walking, My Life in Movies and Other Diversions. And it's got illustrations by Harry Bliss. They did a cartoon book together last year or the year before.
Yeah.
His first memoir was very good.
Yeah.
And so this one
he's great.
Should be. There's so many new books.
I love it.
Marie Kondo has a new book coming out.
Oh.
How to Karashi at Home, How to Organize Your Space and Achieve Your Ideal Life. Which we all want to do.
I hope she doesn't.
Bono has a new book coming out.
Bono!
Surrender, 40 Songs, One Story.
Oh, I know what my aunt's getting for Christmas.
November 1st. So.
There you go. Sorry, Amy, pretend you didn't hear that.
Don't listen to this episode.
Don't listen to this episode. That's your Christmas present.
Kevin Wilson, Now is Not the Time to Panic.
Mm.
November 8th, we're getting The World We Make, N.K. Jemisin.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, the...
It's a follow-up to...
The follow-up, yes.
Yeah, A City We Became.
That's
right. I forgot that was coming out so
November
soon.
November 1st, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so...
God, I love A City We Became so much.
So more. Jane Smiley has a new one.
Ooh.
A Dangerous Business.
Very nice.
Olive Blake, Alone with You in the Ether. I love
Story. Oh, wow. Another new one. Wow, that was fast, I feel like.
Yeah.
Didn't
Yellow
6 just come out?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's just a few of the highlights. There's more than
I was going to say,
could go on and on and on.
I mean,
it looks like a great fall.
Yeah, there's heavy hitters coming out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you have any that you wanted to highlight, Ryan?
I mean,
had a couple. I mean, we know some of them.
To scream about Daphne.
Of course.
No, I have to yell about Daphne, September 20th, Josh Malerman. I mean, he's already teased it on Twitter, so even though we haven't announced, I guess I can tell you guys he's coming here.
Yay!
October 13th at 6:30. Yep, I forced that to happen.
I feel like I have to come to that or work that because
yes.
Is it a Friday the 13th?
It is a Thursday. Oh. I know. But we're throwing out a few dates because there's a Halloween book festival in Haverhill that weekend that he's coming to, which is why I was like, hey, you're going to be like an hour from the store. Let's do this.
Yeah.
And so we were throwing out some dates around that, and he offered two or three, and I was like, well, October 13th is the spookiest date of all of those, so let's do it then. And he was like, sold, let's do it. So yes, he will be here for Daphne, and I'm very excited. I'm going to force everyone I know to come so that we have a nice big crowd. Yes, everyone please come. Looking at my little pre-order display. What else? Oh, Ocean's Echo.
Yes.
By Everett and Maxwell, which is follow-up to Winter's Orbit. Well, not even a follow-up. It's set in the same universe, but it's not. It's a standalone. Super excited for that.
Yeah.
That comes out November 1st.
Yeah. Obviously, Nona comes out 13th of September. Nona the 9th.
Restless Truth
comes out the 1st of November.
Yep.
There are some...
There's a collection of short stories by Rainbow Rowell, which is coming out in November, Scattered Showers, which I love Rainbow Rowell, and I always, like, forget kind of how much I love her until I read, or, like, I did a big reread of, like, Fangirl and Carry On, and I was reading them, I was like, oh, right, I love these books! So that should be interesting. That comes out November 8th. Looking at, there's so many. There's a new Brandon Sanderson coming in November. There's a new Anthony Horowitz coming out in November. Yeah. November's a popular month.
Yeah.
When does the new, and then, we have, there's so many coming out right after Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
I would say, like, again, pre-order and have the pre-order be the gift. There's a new Leigh Bardugo. It's called Hellbent, and it's the sequel to Ninth House.
Yeah.
And which it's we're reading exciting. For the Jack of All Graves book club in September. That comes out in early January, and I think is going to be delightfully creepy and unsettling.
I mean, the
dark.
Cover alone is
The cover has a very not alive looking rabbit on it.
It's like it's made of paper or whatever, but it's weirdly realistic and mildly upsetting.
It is real spooky looking. Excited for that. Obviously the new Grady Hendrix we talked about, the new Stephen Graham Jones comes out in February. It's called Don't Fear the Reaper. There's a new Lana Harper coming out in January. Called Back in a Spell, which is the, I think, third book in her trilogy that starts with Payback's a Witch. There's some good books coming out.
A couple that I would like to shout out.
Yeah.
Most of these I've been reading recently. For YA, Self-Made Boys by Anna Marie McLemore. It is one of the remixed classics, and it is a trans Gatsby retelling. So Nick and Gatsby are trans. Nick is Latin, and as is Daisy, his cousin, but she passes as white. Dating Tom, who's super racist.
Yep,
and so a very interesting, a lot going on, very interesting take on Gatsby, and I found it fascinating to read about it. They're between like 17 and 19, which is very interesting for The Great Gatsby because it's such a book about like nostalgia and wanting to get back to the past, and that having such young versions of these characters makes for a really interesting take on that. One book I have not read, this one I'm really looking forward to though, Making Love with the Land by Joshua Whitehead. I just read his book Johnny Appleseed that was absolutely stunning. Mm-hmm. This is an essay collection about his life and experience as a queer two-spirit First Nations person, and just reflections on like the body and like his experience of his body. Gorgeous, gorgeous writer, and I'm really looking forward to reading that. And we have a new book by Aidan Thomas, who wrote Cemetery Boys. It's called The Sunbearer Trials. It's the first in a duology. That's YA also, that has, you know, demigods, children of gods, competing in a Hunger Games-esque competition.
Okay.
And then one that I just started that, oh my god, I love so much, that's coming out in October, is called It Came from the Closet, Queer Reflections on Horror.
Nice.
Edited by Joe Valise. And I've only read the first two essays in it, but one of them was Carmen Maria Machado on Jennifer's body.
Okay.
I want to get some phrases from that, like, tattooed on my face. Like, yeah. Oh my god.
God.
Gorgeous, incredible, some like really interesting thoughts on queer coding and like queer baiting and how that functions, and especially bisexuality in that movie, and just stunning essay.
Oh, I have to read that.
Yeah, and it's I'm going through. I've watched a lot of the movies they talk about, but not all of them. So I'm going and watching some of the ones that.
Really, a list. I love that.
I made a list on Letterboxd. So,
I have to follow that.
Yeah, yeah, I'll have that's to. Amazing. But yeah, they have stuff. You know, The Exorcist.
Yep.
Pet Sematary, The Ring. Hereditary, which both Us and Get Out.
Ooh, nice.
The Blair Witch Project, Halloween, nice. Child's Play.
Oh my god, my favorites.
Yeah,
just running down my list of favorites.
Yeah, Friday the 13th Part 2, which is that,
first one with Jason.
Mm-hmm. Candyman. And then some like real classics, The Birds, The Leech Woman, The Wolfman. So
amazing.
I'm very much looking forward to continuing to read that when I get home, and then hand selling it to all the queer horror fans. And it, the introduction's a really good like look at like why queer people seem so invested in horror, and how like horror and queerness go hand in hand, and how so many. Queer monsters, how many of the like bad guys in horror movies are queer or queer coded, and like why that is, and what seeing yourself presented in that way.
I am obsessed. I need to read that.
Yeah, oh, it's that's incredible. There's an e-arc on
Ableist. I'm gonna go home and download that immediately.
Yeah, very good. I'm very excited about that one.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so that's what I've got.
That's amazing. Oh, see, now my brain is all excited for like the Christmas recommendations of like, and you should order this, and you should get this, and you should get this. This will be a really good gift, and that'll be a really good gift.
Yeah.
That episode will come. That episode is coming.
It'll be so good.
You know, this is like part one of, of that.
Check back with us in November.
In November probably. Because my brain is all buzzing with like, oh snap. cool. Well, okay, so we just like blasted you all with the biggest TBR. I mean, you know, we always do that, I guess, but
and I'll definitely give Ryan a list of like other things that I'm excited for that we can like put up on the website or on
the link.
Yeah,
always has the shoppable list of everything that we talked about and maybe meant to talk about but forgot or whatever.
Ran out of time.
Exactly. At this point, I would usually mention some of our upcoming events, but all I can think about is the upcoming Josh Malerman event. So that's...
Fair enough.
I'm just going to once again be like, hey, if you're in New England, please come.
Please come.
I'm really excited for it. I, like, manifested this. It's, like, several years in the making, and... It is only happening because I made friends with Josh through this podcast. So please come.
Please, please come.
Please prove that New Englanders love horror. Thank you.
I think they do.
I think so. As always, a reminder about our partnership with Libre FM.
Yep.
We love them. I was chatting with some of the folks on the team the other day. They're revamping their website. It's going to look so good. Like, okay. It already looks good. But I got to preview what they're working on, and it's going to look really cool. And we talked about doing like a crossover episode of our podcasts.
That would be
collaboration there. They're very, very kind to us. They sponsor this podcast. We have a special code LAYDOWN. If you are new to Libre FM, just put that code in at checkout and you get an extra credit. So two credits for $14.99. You get a free book, which is fantastic. And then you get a credit every month for $14.99, and you also get a discount on books that you're paying for without your credits. So it's honestly a really great thing to do. I can't recommend them highly enough. It's how I consume so many of my books these days is audiobooks. And you know, I've said this before, but I know some folks are nervous about doing audiobooks. They're like, well, you know, I lose track of them, or like, I just have a hard time listening to them. And my advice is to listen to a book that you know and love.
Yeah.
First, and kind of like train yourself, like train your brain to listen to audiobooks and to kind of catch yourself when your mind is wandering and figure out context and
figure out what books work for you on audio. Like, there are some books that I'll start the audiobook and be like, nope, I think this has to be a physical book. But also the opposite, sometimes I'm like, okay, I think I would like this more as an audio. Exactly. So like, yeah, you just kind of have to find your groove.
Yeah. So anyway, we love them, and please support them because they support us. So you can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is gibsonsbookstore.com, and we're also on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And we'll put those links in the show notes along with all of the books that were mentioned during this episode. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the stacks. Bye!
Bye!